Right, ladies, we are here still in chapter 29 of Tanya. So we're on page 129, 130, which is the first side of page Lamed Zayin. And we're about a third of the way down the page. Vehine Kolma. So Vehine Kolma is 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines down, three words from the end of the line. Vehine Kol Ma. Right. Yes, so that's Vehine Kol Ma. Right, okay. Now, what this is speaking about, the whole chapter is about Vehine Kol Ma. The whole chapter is about a person. Do you have it?
I've got the English version.
Yes, yes. Okay, in the English side, let's just get that straight. The longer. In the English, it's where it says the longer he will reflect. Are you okay? Have you got page 129, 130 at the bottom?
Yes.
And you want to follow in the English or the Hebrew? Do you have it?
Actually, the English one is down here, and then the Hebrew one is up here.
Yeah, because they're too common.
I'm reading it down here.
Yeah. Reading it. Have you got page 129, 130 at the bottom pages? Yeah. Sister? Do you have
it? Yes, I've got it. Here it is. Look.
Yeah, okay, fine. Lovely. All right. Now, the whole chapter is about a person who wants to daven and wants to feel some kind of inspiration when they're davening. And they don't feel it. Their heart is closed. And a more sort of extreme way of expressing it, their heart is like a stone. So they just don't feel. So the question is how to get the door open, or how to break through the stone so that one comes to the feelings, the love, which is inside the stone. And and what it talks about is the way in which you have a log of wood which is on the fire and it's not burning, so you start poking it with the poker and you know, banging it, and in that way it suddenly breaks up. So what we're really discussing here is the kind of shell of the ego which is around the person. It's the shell of the animal self and the selfish self of the person, which surrounds their heart and traps their heart. And what we're trying to do is break through that. And so there is a concept, you see, when that shell is broken. Now in Hebrew, the word that's used is shivrein lev, is the breaking of the heart, which in English, when you say a broken heart, it means something else. It means something who has suffered such a terrible, bitter experience or pain or disappointment that their heart is broken and they do not feel secure about trusting anyone again or something like that. A broken heart is a very negative thing in English. Whereas the Hebrew is talking about the shell around the heart, breaking the shell around the heart, And so there is a saying, there is nothing so whole as a broken heart, or someone with that shell around the heart which is broken. So that means that the heart is genuinely able to feel. Now, how do we get to breaking the shell around our heart? So he speaks about, the author, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, speaks about the way in which a person considers how much they have been, as it were, drawn in a negative direction on account of this shell, on account of this animal soul which is trapping the person. And he might think about negative things that he does, or negative things that he has done. And the author is trying to work with many different kinds of people. You see, many different kinds of people study Tanya. And there is a saying that the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe said, because it says at the beginning of Tanya, at the very beginning, there's a kind of a letter written by the author, and he said, but I am speaking about people whom I know, every one of the members of the community. Now, that was written, that letter was written in something like 1793, when he was, Tanya was a handwritten text which was given out to the members of the community and people copied it. It was like a very, very intimate group. But then when Tanya was printed in 1796, Rabbi Shneur Zalman kept that paragraph there. And his great-great-grandson, the Reb Shalom Dovber, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, lived around 1900, 1910, he said, this means that the author knows us. He can see us. He knows us. He's writing this book for us. And he was also writing, he's writing for us, whom you would say we are, you know, people who want to learn, but not, and we want to come closer, but there are various ways that we do not have the kind of strength of character of the great rabbis that Rabbi Shneur Zalman was teaching initially and also through the generations. So he's writing this for lots of different kinds of people. So there are people who really, if they're trying to break through this ego shell, this animal soul shell around their heart, there are some people who can really present some very good evidence that they have been led astray in different ways by the animal soul, led into negative actions or negative words or negative thoughts, and they behaved in inappropriate ways, at least inside their own heads, possibly more extensively. And so by thinking in a sort of self-critical way, we can break through the shell and get to the warmth and the feeling and the flow and the love which is there in the heart within, inside that shell. And then when we say a few words of davening, we really feel it. Now, that's all right if you have someone who could tangibly say, ah, look what a terrible thing I did, oh, that was so bad, and they locate it, and it's like a hard shell, and then all they need to do is take a hammer and crack, and they break the shell, and they've got through. But what happens if you're dealing with someone who's more spiritual, who actually doesn't do anything wrong in any way, doesn't say anything wrong, doesn't even think anything wrong? Imagine.
Are there such people?
Well, there have been such people. Whether there are today is a very good question, because we're in a weak generation, and we're in a generation where sort of, you know, we we go from one extreme to another. You know, at one point we're very happy and positive, then we sing.
Then shocks and changes.
That's right. You know, I was, we were in Sweden looking, there was the boat on the sea, you know, like you could just see this boat. It was just, that's the way we are. And there is a kind of personality where there's something strong and, you know, a real maintaining of balance. But I suspect such people are very, very rare. Mm-hmm. Very rare. Mm-hmm. I believe that earlier on they were more common. And the kind of books that they read or wrote indicates that there were people who, when they said to themselves, I'm not going to do that again, they were actually able to hold to that.
Do you think it might have been something to do with the diet as well in those
days? The diet? Well, or the lack of diet.
Yeah, but they didn't have the refined and processed sort of diets that we are consuming today.
I don't know. People might say that what they were eating was a lot healthier than what we're eating.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
They had a pure diet.
Oh, well, okay.
We are eating, and also the air.
Yes.
Evolution.
Yeah, listen, it's all possible. And I mean, Rabbi Shneur Zalman lived in the most beautiful countryside. You know, Tanya was written in the little towns of Belarus, you know, which are just absolutely charming. Yes, I visited Lubavitch, which is not where he lived directly, but he lived nearby in a place called Lyozna and Lyadi, and very, very idyllic, peaceful.
They lived off the land. They grew all their own things, didn't they?
Economically, it's not quite so straightforward. Whether they were living off the land and growing their own things, there might have been various kinds of business. Sometimes Jewish people ran the inn. They had the liquor license, which was actually quite a difficult business to run. But there is that sense of people who were in control of themselves. But at the same time, so therefore, Rabbi Shneur Zalman has to move to people who actually haven't done anything wrong. So he says, well, and that's the last point that we looked at last time we were studying together 2 weeks ago. Well, what about your dreams? You know, a person might have had negative dreams of one kind or another. So that's where we're trying to find, in order to break the shell, you have to find a place where the shell is hard, and then you can have a bash at it. Because otherwise, it's you can't find exactly where to deal with oneself, how to get this shell open so that you get to the warmth and the love of the heart which is inside.
I was going to say that it's like someone comes to learn something, you have to know basically how far they've got or how much they've learned, so you can go further with them.
Well, that's certainly the case.
Unless you know how far you've got with that person, how far that person is.
In general, with Rabbi Shneur Zalman and Tanya, he is trying to assess every aspect. Yes, you're quite right. That one has to, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe and the sixth Rebbe, his son, together, they they compiled a book called Principles of Education and Guidance, which talk about giving guidance in a teaching situation, and speak about you have to know every aspect about the person you're talking to, what kind of home they come from, what kind of environment, that's in order to be able to really communicate.
My Hebrew teacher, you know, and when Tani first took me on, she's been with me for quite a few months now, and she wanted to know, before I even start to teach you, I had to tell her basically where I'd got up to, what I've taught, what I've learned. Then she said, I can carry on and take you further. But I need to know the background, what you've been taught.
That's very good. Yep, beautiful. Okay. So we've had a whole array in the this chapter, in the earlier pages of this chapter. We've spoken about different aspects of trying to get to grips with this negative dimension in order to crack through it, break through it, and get to the heart within. Vihine. So here we have Vihine kol masha yarech. The more that one thinks at length, b'inyonim elu, about these ideas, b'machshavto, in one thought, v'gam b'iyunoi b'svarim, and also reading books, there's a whole genre of books which talk about this kind of subject. Today they're called Musa books, books about Musa, and in fact there was a whole movement called the Musa movement, which began about 100 years after Hasidism began. But the original Musa books go back earlier. For example, there's a book by someone called Rabbi Yona Gerondi, Rabbi Yona of Gerona in Spain, and he wrote a book called Sha'arei Tshuva, The Gates of Repentance. And it's a book in which he...
Lovely title.
Yes, it is.
It's that idea of breaking the shell and negative dreams and what you're saying. It sounds a bit like a psychiatry of Sigmund Freud.
Breaking the shell,
getting to know what's underneath it all. But we're speaking in spiritual terms. Do you think there's an equation there?
Well, I must tell you one set of people who definitely think so, and that's a whole lot of Jewish psychotherapists who both read Tanya and feel that it's very relevant to their work as psychotherapists.
Right, I should think so.
So that idea of...
do they believe in Sigmund Freud's theory?
Well, they use
the dreams?
It. Yes, they use it in their work. And the point is, they see a lot of affinity with Tanya. I once knew someone who wrote some kind of thesis. I can't remember if it was a master's thesis or a PhD, comparing psychotherapy to Tanya. So there is a lot of interest
this sort of cycle that a person's in a way, where maybe they have thoughts and dreams that they can't get.
Well, the same concept. I think that where I would imagine the point of contact in this topic we're looking at now is suddenly realizing where there's a problem that you didn't think there was a problem, and you suddenly see a particular thing as being a problem, and once you see that thing as a problem, then you're able to change it.
Yes.
It's when you don't realize it and it's having a it's having an effect on one without one understanding where that issue is coming from. So one of the things about the psychotherapeutic process, not only in Freud's system, in other systems as well, is unearthing what might be a terrible memory or something of this kind, and finding that point where there is something there which is...
It's bothering you.
Trapping you.
Is that breaking the shell?
I'd say that that's a very good way, Rini, of analyzing what this chapter is talking about, because this chapter is talking about our problem in moral terms, and the fact of a person doing something bad or thinking something bad and trying to find the lock, trying to pick the lock. so that you can open that door and get through, because the fact of the door being closed so resolutely, like the shell being hard, means that you can't get inside yourself. And here we're trying to get through that, and in the therapeutic process I would say that's something very similar. Although, as you say, it's there it might be some kind of hidden pain.
Yes.
See, now here it's not necessarily speaking about hidden pain. There may be a relationship of the two kinds of problem, but here here it's a hidden callousness. See, negative behavior can be thought of as coming from a kind of callousness, hardness, not caring about another person, not caring about Hashem, not caring about the chain from Moshe Rabbeinu or from Avraham Avinu, from Abraham, down to you and me here in the present. You know, so there is.
And isn't it also about not caring about yourself? That callousness.
Yes.
Really shows more about what the person thinks about themselves.
I think that's a very true point. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's an English expression, it's called breaking the ice.
Well, it's interesting. You see, breaking the ice is normally when you're talking about two people.
Oh, I'm wondering if that's any comparison. You've heard that, you know, they say now we've got to break the ice, breaking the ice.
Yes, yeah, if you have like a group of people and they're strangers, they've just come, they're on a cruise, you know, so you want to break the ice between. But there's certainly points of contact here with the therapeutic process. Anyway, so what he's saying is that the more that a person thinks about this, and he looks or she looks in books, that his heart, that means the shell around the heart, should be broken within him or her, and one comes to loathe one's own ego, one sees one's own self, sense of self, one's callous self, I this, I that, I the other, one sees that as something extremely coarse and negative. Kakosuv, as it's written in a verse, betachlis hamios, really loathing it. Velimois chayav mamash, loathing that aspect of one's life, that selfish, callous aspect of one's life. Because one doesn't loathe one's life. We live against our will. We are sent into this world with a task. And so we are there, really, we are emissaries of God, sent into the world with a task and a challenge. And the problem is that our ego takes over and leads us astray. And we forget the task that we're supposed to do. And we think we have to do other things, we want to do other things, and then we get lost in thinking about that, and this completely confuses us. So by loathing this negative shell of self, which is trapping our pure inner self, through this we are loathing and rejecting the negative sides, the realm of impurity, umashpila la'ofa, and we drag it down to the dust, umorida migdulosa, and we bring it down from its imagined greatness, vegasus rucha, its pride, vegavhusa, its sense of exaltation. This is our ego. Shemagbi es atzmo, that it makes it feel stronger, al or kedushas nefesh elokis, against the radiance of the sacred divine soul, lahachshich oira, and it tries this negative force, this self, this narcissism, tries to darken the radiance of our divine soul. So in other words, we've tried to get into the very, very point within ourselves where this battle is taking place, the very point where the ego is hiding our spiritual, divine inwardness.
Do you think we've all got some of that?
Yes.
We have, haven't we?
Yes, I think we have.
And isn't that the hardest thing to actually recognise?
That's very difficult, isn't it?
It's very difficult to actually get to that point.
To exorcise that thing.
To recognise that it is that. Because if you're on the road of that road, you can't possibly see it. You can only see it later when you look back and realise how arrogant you are. When you're actually being very arrogant and thinking you're it, you can't actually recognise it, can you?
It's hard when you are arrogant. You see it afterwards that you shouldn't have been it.
Yeah, but not the time.
Well, I think that's what Tanya is asking us to do. You see, when we're swept up in the general issues of life, like today, right? What was happening today? Whatever was happening today.
No, it's all right today.
Okay.
Oh,
well, that's lovely. Okay.
I'm very getting on with everyone today.
Okay, good.
Good. Everything happening.
All right. Okay. A lot of different responses.
I don't know about tomorrow, but today's all right.
Today isn't too bad, but it's all.
But you see, in the heat of the moment, it might be more difficult. But that's the point of sitting together or thinking by oneself. And studying Tanya takes us out of that situation. You know, at this moment, we're not, hopefully, you know, we're not battling with any of these different forces around us. And we're able to look at ourselves for a moment in a more objective way. You know, and we can step back from ourselves and say, you know, there, you know, as if we can, like you used the word,
stand outside yourself and look at yourself.
Yes, yeah, and see that bit, you used the word exorcism, you know, see that bit which is problematic. We might say, you know, I can see that bit is problematic, and at the moment I don't know what to do about it. You know, I mean, that's a fair response, because we don't necessarily, just by locating it, we don't automatically get rid of it, but it does help. It's the first step. The first step is locating that particular problem, and then we
can. What about getting to that step? Isn't that the hardest bit, or not?
Well, of recognizing, of recognition.
To the point where you're thinking, you know what, I'm being arrogant. To actually admit that. That can take years. Someone like me.
Well, everyone is different.
The
I know what it said just before about checking all your actions and thoughts every day. And taking stock.
Well, you know, the question is whether we're able to do that in a
sometimes you can,
in a tangible way. You know, there is a person, he's passed away now, but he was one of the very few people who were described as a Beinoni of Tanya, as a person who really lives up to what Tanya is saying. And his son told me that his father earlier on had lived in a sort of an apartment, and so this was, so downstairs was another family. And his son, later on, when his son was 16, 17, he met the members of this other family who remembered his father from years back. And they said, you know, at night, it was a bit of a problem. because he would start saying the Shema before going to bed. And the Lubavitch text in the Siddur, in the prayer book, about saying the Shema, it begins off where you say, Master of the Universe, Ribbono Shel Olam, and you start saying, it's actually very beautiful, you say how you forgive anyone who did anything to offend you in any way. It's a very beautiful prayer, if one says it seriously, takes it seriously. But he would get stuck on the words, Master of the Universe, Ribbono Shel Olam. And he would then say again, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe. You know, so they're downstairs listening to upstairs, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, which they can hear dimly through the ceiling, but he's going on and on, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe. You know, so it's very difficult to live with spiritual people. Go to bed. The people downstairs. Yeah.
Oh, downstairs.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
He didn't realize that.
It was harmless, wasn't it?
Well, it was harmless, but
was
people
harmless,
can.
But
yeah, I mean, soundproofing is a very, very important need in many, many aspects of it. But the thing is that for him, just the process of recognizing that God is the master of the world. You see, that's the thing. God is the master of the world. Am I the master? No, God is the master. And that moment of surrender, see, that's arrogance.
Oh? That's just before that moment of surrender, you mean?
Well.
If you don't surrender, is that what you're saying?
Well.
If you don't surrender to the facts that...
You see, we can, if we could trace, if we could stand back from ourselves and just trace that point, you know, as if we're looking at a line inside ourselves, and we can suddenly see where it gets hard and cold and will not accept the existence of another person.
That man that said the Ribbono Shel Olam, he said it with all his heart.
Yes.
He was quite right. He meant it. He said it.
Yes.
But the people upstairs, they didn't accept it. They couldn't.
Well,
not
well they just wanted to go to sleep. I wouldn't blame them.
Yeah, problem.
I think they probably found it very moving.
Yes.
Maybe they were able to go into another room. You know, I'm not quite sure all the detail. You know, if he was doing this over the dining room and they could move into the bedroom and not be bothered by it, you know. But if he was doing it over the bedroom, you know.
No, it's a bit mad. You've got to think about the people as well.
I would imagine that if anyone would have pointed out to him that this was disturbing other people, he would have immediately
stopped
or kept quiet, you know, done it in a different way, gone out for a walk, you know, something else. But he was a very, very sensitive person, extremely beautiful person.
He needed that. He needed it.
Yeah. But that's, you see, that moment, I mean, that's really what Tanya brings to us. That we're able to, for a moment, look a little bit more objectively. You know, it's true that we're a group of people together, you know, so we're not focusing in, you know, on ourselves so much. But there's the possibility. There's a possibility. And the question is, if we're able to make a format, like a situation, when we're able to think in this kind of way. And together, like this, is protective. Because a person can often think so angrily about themselves. In fact, he's going to speak about being angry with oneself. But we are so weak that if we get angry with ourselves, we may well denigrate ourselves very negatively and seriously, and we have to be protected from that as well, you know. So that's the multiple. Does anyone want a biscuit? Come on, the real world.
I know what that biscuit represents.
Well, it represents another few grams on the scale.
Yeah, that's
no,
it.
Something else.
All right, should we look a little bit further?
Yes.
V'gam yarim olea. So this is where he says we should shout at it. B'kol rash v'roigesh, angrily, v'roigesh, in an angry way, lahashbila, to pull down this negative force. K'may merazal, as the sages say, la'olam yagiz odam yetzer tov al yetzer hara. A person should always make his good desire angry against his bad desire. Shenema, as it says, rigzu, be angry, va'al techeto, and don't sin. And when it says be angry, it means be angry inside oneself against that force of negativity. Dahainu lirgoiz al nefesh bahamis. That means to be angry with one's animal soul, shehi yitzra ra, which is one's evil desire, b'kol rash v'roigish b'machshavtoi, in a strong and angry voice in one's thoughts. I mean, you know, don't do it on a bus. Loi meloi, saying to it, ato v'rosha u'mashukut, you are bad, evil, loathsome, u'masur v'manubal, you're a very low thing, b'chuli. Like all the names that our sages called our evil desire, be'emes, in truth, ad mosai tastir, how long will you conceal lifnei or ein sof baruch hu? Will you conceal the radiance of the infinite, the radiance of God, hamamalek ol almin, which fills all worlds, hoya hoya beyeh, was, is, and will be eternally, b'shove, equally, gamba mokum zesh ani olav, also in this place. The intensity of God is here with me, and you, you animal soul, you evil desire, you want to hide it from me. Just as the radiance of the infinite was there alone, koidem shenivra olam, before the world was created, belishum shinu, without any change, kamoisha kosav ani Hashem loy. We're just doing the last couple of lines of this page, then we'll finish. Ani Hashem loy shenisi, I am God, I haven't changed. Loy shenisi ki hu lamayim hazman b'chuli, because God is beyond time and God is eternal. Va'atom anuvel, and you, my evil desire b'chuli, machish emes, you're trying to deny the truth. Hanir le'inayim, which is obvious to one's eyes. D'chulu kabekalo mamash be'emes, that everything before God is really like nothing. Bevchina's re'iyah chushes, and one can really see it that way. And you tell this to one's animal soul, and with the help of God, the animal soul listens, and it says, "You're quite right. Hashem echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." And then a little bit, we get some peace from the animal song. And when we then daven, we daven with feeling, because we've broken through the shell. We've cracked it. We've opened the door. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you for Rabbi Zitron. Yeah, I mean,